నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. టుడే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 7, ద సైన్స్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, చాప్టర్ 13, ద బిహేవియర్ ఆఫ్ అ పర్ఫెక్ట్ పర్సన్, వర్స్ నంబర్ 42. నాహం నిందేన చ స్తోమి స్వభావ విషమం జనం, ఏతశాం శ్రేయా ఆశాసే ఉతే కాత్యం మహాత్మని. నాహం నిందేన చ స్తోమి స్వభావ విషమం జనం, ఏతశాం శ్రేయా ఆశాసే ఉతైకాత్మ్యం మహాత్మని. నాహం నిందేన చ స్తోమి స్వభావ విషమం జనం, ఏతశాం శ్రేయా ఆశాసే ఉతైకాత్మ్యం మహాత్మని. దశోమి స్వభావ విషమం జనం, తేషాం శ్రేయా ఆశాసే ఉదయకాత్మ్యం మహాత్మని. నాహం నిందేన చ సోమి స్వభావ విషమం జనం, ఆశాసేత్మ్య మహాత్మని. మతజీ నాట్ అహం ఆయ్ నిందే బ్లాస్ఫీమ్ నార్ చ also stoumi praise swabhava whose nature vishmam contradictory janam a living entity or human being etasham of all of them shreya the ultimate benefit ఆశాసే ఐ ప్రే ఫార్ ఉత ఇండీడ్ ఏకాత్మయం వన్నెస్ మా ఆత్మని ఇన్ ద సూపర్ సోల్ ద పరం బ్రహ్మ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ మెంటాలిటీస్. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev is the goal of life. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. This is the instruction of all the Vedic literature. Vedescha Sarver Aham Eva Vedya Sarva Dharman Parityaje Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. There is no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualifications. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, he may be degraded to the lower planetary systems. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded. But this is the goal of life. Rather, the goal of life is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. Om Agyantimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadad Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, Verse Number 42. Translation. Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or to blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are hearing this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Prahlad Maharaj, he meets a great saintly personality, a perfect person, who is speaking about his own life, how he lives, what he eats, where he sleeps, and how he conducts his other affairs. So one of the points here in today's verse is how does he respond to various people performing varieties of activities. In front of him, he may see a person giving charity to a poor person or helping poor person, feeding food, helping a blind person. Or in front of him, he may see a person who is stealing money, murdering, accusing, giving bad words, fighting. So how does he respond to both the situations? How a perfect person should respond to both the situations? And how we devotees should respond to both the situations? We will learn from this verse today. What should be our response? What we do is action, which is based on skills. What skills we have, based on that we act, we perform. Like singing, it's a skill, it's an activity, we do. Now what we respond is not a skill, it is based on qualities. Tolerance is not a skill, it's a quality. Tolerance is response to pain. I receive pain, I experience pain, now what do I do? How do I respond to this pain? For that we need qualities. If I have a tolerance, then I will be shant, peaceful. If I don't have tolerance, I'll be angry and I'll try to fight with that pain or harm the person or the source which is giving me pain. So there are qualities by which we respond. This is higher. Just learning skills to perform is what we do it in university, school and colleges. They teach us skills. How to read, how to write, how to run, how to do activity, perform, vocational skills, computer skills, mechanicals, engineering skills, medical, how to perform operation, all the MBA, sales, how to convince somebody, it's all skills. But that's not sufficient education. What we need to learn is qualities by which we respond to situations in life. But these qualities are not taught. In our school and college, they don't teach these qualities. Compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, wisdom, cleanliness, self-control, austerity, truthfulness, intelligence. Are these qualities taught? Those who teach us, do they have these qualities? Forget having these qualities. Do they even know the list of the qualities? So that's material education. So here, the perfect person is speaking a very high topic of how to respond to varieties of situations. So before beginning, to understand what he speaks, I will ask a question, which is good or bad, Karela or mango? Comparatively, you can raise your hands. Which is good or bad? Yes. Both are good. But out of these two, if you have to select one good, one bad, mango is good. Honest answer. As soon as we sit in Bhagavatam class, we start thinking philosophically, what should I answer? But outside Bhagavatam class, if somebody gives you two boxes, one with Karela box, 20 Karelas and one with 20 mangoes, say choose one, will we use philosophy there? No option only, we'll choose a mango only. So we discriminate between Karela and mango. So the point is not Kerala and mango. Point is good and bad. Why we discriminate? What is this good and bad? From where does it come? This is called duality. Dual. Two. This duality is not present in the spiritual world. In spiritual world, there is no duality. Duality is present in the material world. Good, bad, true, false, right, wrong, honor, dishonor, poor, rich, black, white, dark, fair, day, night, spirit, matter, reality, illusion, devotee, myself. We always put ourselves in devotee category. So this duality is not present in spiritual world. Even past and future tense is not present in spiritual world. In spiritual world, you cannot say, yesterday I did this. The word yesterday doesn't exist there. So why it is present here? From where does it come? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Reflection, you know, right? If you stand in front of a mirror, what you see is a reflected image. Reflected image of a person who is standing in front of the mirror. Or surface of water. Perverted reflection means it is not same as original. Perverted. Not same as original means either it has some addition or it has some subtraction. Right? So material world is not reflection. Perverted reflection of the spiritual world. That means there is something in the material world which is not in the spiritual world. And there is something in the something missing in the material world, there is something in the spiritual world which is not in material world. There is some addition and there is some subtraction. Then only you can call it perverted. Otherwise you will call it similar. Same reflection. It has to be some difference. Some perversion. Something ganda. Something nasty. So imagine you have a circle. And you reflect it on the ground. You press it. What you will have on the ground? A line. You are getting me? A circle, you press it down. What becomes? A line. This is called perverted reflection. Circle is beautiful. Nice curve. In line, you don't have curve. The beauty is lost. Circle doesn't have end points. Does circle have two end points? No. Line has end points. Circle has a center, but line doesn't have. So this is perverted reflection. Certain things are added, certain things are subtracted. Same thing happens with the spiritual and material world. Spiritual world is a circle. With Krishna in the center. As soon as it is reflected, material world, no center. Krishna gayab. There are no end points there. All points are equidistant from the center. All are equal. Here there are two end points. That's called two duality. Which is not present in the spiritual world. What is not present in the circle becomes present in the line. The center is missing. Every point on the line thinks I am the center. And two end points are added. That's duality. good and bad. This is not there in the spiritual world. This is added in the material world. So perverted reflection of the spiritual world is material world, which has duality. Bitter and sweet, that's duality. Now this duality is not just in matter. This duality is experienced by the souls. By the souls in this material world. It is because of our experience. Pleasant experience, unpleasant experience. Based on that we decide good and bad. Karela if touches my tongue, unpleasant experience. Mango if it comes in contact with my tongue, pleasant experience. So we define good and bad based on our experience. Now there are so many conditioned souls. Conditioned souls have different knowledge, different consciousness, different mentality, different influence of the material modes. So based on that, they will have different set of experiences. Human species, animal species, bird species, aquatic species, they will all have different experiences and they will see the world in a different way. The way you see the world may not be the same the way your friend sees the world. We all see a different world. How many worlds are there? One. But every person sees the world in a different way. That is our experience. We don't see the real world. We see our experience. For example, there is a nice rose flower in a garden. And a goat sees. What will goat say? What will goat experience? Breakfast. Nice red breakfast. Krishna's mercy. A gardener sees. Mali. Gardener. It's 10 rupees. Can take it to Dadar, sell it for 10 rupees. Nice rose. Right? A college girl sees. Oh, I can decorate my hair. I look more beautiful. Decoration. A college boy sees. Said, oh, I give to my girlfriend. She will be happy. Gift. And our pujari sees. Oh, I give to Radha Ras Bihari. Rose for Radha Ras Bihari. Right? One rose, five different personalities, five different conceptions. Now, which is right? What is this object? Breakfast? Product to sell? Hair decoration? Gift? Or bhoga? Offering? What is this object? One object, so many conceptions. So one world, but everybody has a different conception. Everybody sees the world differently. And based on that conception, not reality, conception, we define good, bad. How do devotees see? Devotees also same way. Based on consciousness. There are three categories of devotees. You heard Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari. What is the difference? Difference of faith. Those who are on lower platform of faith, they are Kanisht. Nishtha. Faith. Kanisht. Third class. Those who are higher platform of faith, Madhyam. Middle, second class. Those who are on highest platform of faith, Uttam, first class, perfect devotee. Kanishta devotees, they see Krishna as a supreme personality of Godhead. They see themselves as very sincere devotees serving Krishna. And they don't see anybody else. For them, three categories exist. Krishna, me, others. Krishna, I will worship. Me, very sincerely grow in spiritual life. Others, gaye baad mein. I don't care. Kanishth adhikari. You see such people around you. Very sincere in their devotional service to Krishna, but rest don't bother. Kanishth adhikari. Above them is Madhyam adhikari. The difference is discrimination. Madhyam adhikaris, they see four categories. Krishna, devotees, innocent people, envious people. Four categories. Discrimination. They discriminate between innocent and envious. Kanishtha does not. All equal. All to be neglected. No care. But Madhyam Adhikari Krishna, he worships, serves. Vaishnavas, he makes friendship, nice relationships based on senior, junior, equal. Innocent, he preaches, he brings them to Krishna consciousness. Envious, he neglects. He neglects envious people. He doesn't preach to envious people. He stay away. That's Madhyama. Middle level of faith. I'll repeat. Very important. They worship Krishna. They have good relationship with devotees. They are compassionate to innocent people who are ready to accept instructions. And they neglect envious people. That's Madhyama. What about Uttama? They have no discrimination at all. Everybody is a devotee. Only I am not a devotee. Highest level. No discrimination. So this is very broad consciousness. Where they accept everybody. Even envious person is a devotee. Even one who kills me is a devotee. Even one who insults me is a devotee. Even one who slaps me is a devotee. Everybody is a devotee. Only I am not a devotee. That's Uttam Adhikari. Very high class. Perfect person. This personality is Uttam Adhikari. All his behavior is like that. No discrimination. Now, a Uttam Adhikari does not discriminate. But the converse is not true. Which means, if you don't discriminate, you don't become Uttam Adhikari. It should be a natural quality. It should be a natural response of our consciousness. When I come to that stage, I will not discriminate. I am not on that stage, and I don't discriminate just to show that I am Uttama. Will not work. In other words, a Uttam Adhikari doesn't differentiate between Karela and Mango. For him, both are same. If offered, both are prasad, equal. That doesn't mean I perform, I show to others that mujhe pharak nahi padta hai. For me, no difference between Karela and Mango. To give a message that I am Uttama. We don't try to prove ourselves as Uttama just by showing non-discriminatory behavior. That is called pretense. Pakhand. Trying to show ourselves on a stage which we are not. That's called pretense. Creating an image of ourselves as a perfect devotee, which actually in private we are not. That is called pittance. If we do that, the only benefit we get is claps. In public, people will clap. But in private, we will be highly miserable people. Because we are pretending. We are unnatural. We are showing off. Inside is not equal to outside. So we'll have to maintain a public figure, public behavior, which is not natural to us. So we'll have to put lots of effort in that performance. But that will go on increasing depression and guilt, which we may be alienated for some time, we may not even be aware, but one day it will come out, and that will be nervous breakdown, what they call. This has happened in the history of ISKCON, even with very senior leaders, who after 15-20 years have come out, because they couldn't handle that guilt, and have written letters of apologies, that I maintained a public image which I was not. Maybe Uttam Adhikari or maybe Mahabhagwat or what is expected. So we should be aware that one of the qualities of demons in 16th chapter, divine and demonic qualities, is self-alienation. Self-alienation means don't know what is happening inside. We don't know what is going on inside. We are alienated to the self, our own self. So we don't have to show to others that I am Uttama. Nobody expects you to do that. Even if somebody expects you, don't try to do that. People will catch you anyway. So we don't have to be non-discriminatory just to show that I am Uttama. Uttam Adhikari is very high platform. So, non-discriminatory means good and bad, both are same. Now, if you take Karela and Mango and both put it on this table, the table will respond same or different? Will the table be happy, Mango aa gaya? Table is also non-discriminatory. A stone is also non-discriminatory. A doll is also non-discriminatory. Does it mean the table is Uttam Adhikari? So an ignorant person, like a small child who is ignorant, he is also non-discriminatory. He doesn't know where to eat, what to do, where to sleep. He may sleep in dirt. He may sleep on his own urine, bedsheet. So non-discrimination is there in the beginning of ignorance and in the end of knowledge. But both are different. A small child or a kanishta, when he is non-discriminatory, that is born out of ignorance. A uttama, when he is non-discriminatory, that is born out of mature knowledge. But in between these two extremes is Madhyam Adhikari, who discriminates. Who makes difference between Karela and Mango, who makes difference between innocent and envious, who makes difference between Vaishnavas and non-Vaishnavas, and accordingly associates. This whole journey from conditioned soul to Uttama is very interesting. When a conditioned soul comes in the material world, his only effort, his only endeavor is somehow to come in contact with sense objects. From morning till night, we want to come in contact with sense objects. Something to eat, something to see, something to hear, something to touch, something to smell, some object we want. Why? Because when I come in contact with that sense object, I will be happy. So we are going on amassing sense objects. When a person is born, he is naked. He has nothing. When he dies, oh, so many things in his cupboard. What he did whole life? Amassed objects. Sense objects. Somebody has a house, somebody has a car, somebody has a bike, somebody has a wardrobe, somebody has so many things in the drawer. Very attached. Attached to sense objects. Even brahmachari, when we join here, nothing. And now we have so much and we can't throw it. If anybody tells you, throw your cupboard out without seeing inside, what is it? Oh, let me see once, kuch zaruri rahega. That's our nature, to amass sense objects. Why? Because we have a hope. Ek asha, ek hope. Why? This sense object is going to give me happiness. This goes on in every species. This goes on in every life. Birth after birth after birth after birth. One day, we realize what is going on. Every life I am amassing sense objects, but no life they are giving me happy. Every single sense object which gives you happiness is bound to give you distress. Any object. Why? Because material world is temporary. Sense object is temporary. So when the sense object begins its happiness, it ends also. We lose that object. And when we lose that object, we have pain. Somebody who buys a new car, very happy. But when then car damages, he has pain. New mobile, very happy. After 2 years, mobile becomes slow. Battery doesn't use much, unhappy. Again, new purchase, very happy. 2 years later, again unhappy. Every single sense object gives happiness, gives distress. Gives happiness, gives distress. So what we do? Use it, throw it. Use it, throw it. Bhoga, tyaga. Now I accept sense object, enjoy it, then I throw it. Tyag. So for lifetimes, crores and crores of lifetimes, bhoga tyaga going on, bhoga tyaga going on. A person has a nice business, opens his shop, earns money, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, doesn't open the shop. Why? Oh, Lonawala, going for a picnic, too tired, too stressed. Sunday, enjoys picnic in the hill station with his wife and children. Monday, again opens the shop. Are you ask him, are you happy in the shop? Yes. Then why did you go to Lonawala? Oh, too much stress. Are you happy in Lonawala? Yes. Then why did you come back to open the shop? Bhoga, tyaga. Neither you are happy in shop, nor you are happy in picnic. Both you want, and both you don't want. This is bhoga, tyaga. You can't be happy with one thing. Daily paneer, you'll be happy? No. Monday when there's no paneer, there'll be, oh, feast ho gaya aaj. Bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga. So very rare jiva going on bhoga tyaga, bhoga tyaga. This is a journey of all of us. Says nothing doing with these sense objects. That is the start of impersonalism. Nothing doing with these sense objects. Every sense object useless. Every person useless. I don't want anything. Better I don't exist. Better I merge. I give up everything. No variety. No duality. I don't like anything. That is starting of impersonalism. And after many, many births or years of impersonalism, this person may come in contact with a sadhu, a pure devotee of Krishna. And he gets attached to service of Krishna. Vasudevam sarvam iti. Bhavunam janmanam ante. Bhavunam janmanam. After many, many births, what happens after many, many births? Gyanvan, after many, many knowledge, births of knowledge. Mam prapadyante, comes to me, surrenders to me. Why he comes to you? Why he surrenders to Krishna? Because he realizes, what? Vasudevam sarvam iti. Vasudev is cause of all causes. Vasudev is all pervading. Vasudev is everywhere. Vasudev is supreme personality of Godhead. Then what happens? Precipitation. You heard precipitation in chemistry lab? Precipitation. In some reaction, when two or more products are mixed, a byproduct is formed automatically without doing anything. Precipitation. So such a person's surrender precipitates. Automatically surrenders to Vasudev. So Mahatma, so very rare person, such Mahatma. Mahatma means Mahan Atma. Not anybody but Mahatma. Like we call Mahatma Gandhi. There is some people given title. As per Bhagavad Gita, no. Mahan Atma. That's Mahatma. Other are Lahan Atma. Or Ghan Atma. Mahan Atma. Sa Mahatma. Sudurlabha. Very rare species. So this is how the journey of a conditioned soul, from bhog and tyag, from many births of knowledge, from impersonalism, comes to Vasudevam Sarvam Iti. Where he becomes perfect. Then he doesn't praises, doesn't despise. That Stitta Pragna section is there in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking Krishna how to identify Stitta Pragna. One of the words Krishna says, Shubh Ashubh. Neither Dveshati nor Abhinandati. Neither he praises Shubh nor he despises Ashubh. Why? Because for them both is equal. You have a Ferris wheel, you've seen a Ferris wheel, a giant Ferris wheel in the fair. People sit, goes up, down. Somebody may say, the up is good, the down is bad. But the person is just sitting, he is not doing anything. The Ferris wheel is going up and down. Similarly, this good, bad, up, down, no meaning. Somebody does good, where will he go? Swargaloka. Somebody does bad, where will go? Narkaloka. Good, bad, up, down. Are, our goal is not to go up and down. Our goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. If you don't go back home, back to Godhead, but just go up and down, then what is the meaning? There is one jail in the corner of Bombay. Another jail in South Bombay, sea facing, 17th floor. Which is better? Which is better? Sea facing jail better? Arre, jail is jail, whether you are here or there. The goal is to be out. You can't sit in a jail and write a letter to Prime Minister. Dear Prime Minister, my jail not good. Please put me in sea-facing jail. Maybe add a fan to it. Arre, you are in jail. You write a, if at all you are writing a letter, you write, please free me. So we should know, we have to get free. If you are not free, then whether you are in Swargaloka or Narkaloka, you are still in jail. If somebody is going to Swarga, why to praise him? Somebody is going to Narka, why to despise him? Because both are still in jail. You seen in the ocean, how many have gone Jew Beach? Ocean waves are there. Suppose there is a wooden object on the wave. Night time. You see the wooden object, but you don't see the wave. Sometimes you see up, sometimes down, sometimes up, sometimes down. And you say, when up, so nice, promotion. When down, not nice. But actually that wooden object is not doing anything. The waves are moving. Suppose a wooden doll is there. Up, down. I say, oh, so nice dancing. Good dancer. But is the doll dancing? No, the waves are moving. In the same way, every jiva is on the waves of material nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion, ignorance. As the modes move, the jiva moves. Sometimes animal, sometimes bird, sometimes insect, sometimes plant, sometimes human, sometimes male, sometimes female, sometimes demigod, sometimes Brahma, moving. The waves moving, the jiva moving. So what is the meaning of praising when he becomes Brahma, Indra, Chandra? Or despising when he becomes ant, cockroach, crocodile? There is no meaning. This is mature knowledge, where a person doesn't see the external effect and influence of modes of nature. He just sees soul is there, somehow should practice Krishna consciousness. Rich, poor, no such discrimination. It is very big misconception of people that poor person should be fed because they are poor. So they serve poor people and they think this is spirituality. This is bakwas. This is not spirituality. Those who don't have Krishna conscious knowledge, they are poor. Even if they have millions in the bank, they are poor. So everybody should be served by giving them Krishna consciousness. This discrimination between poor and rich based on money they have is not valid. Nowadays, so anyway, there is a problem. Even if you have money, you are not rich. Especially if you have old notes. So anyway, there is issue here. So the perfect person, he doesn't see the externals. How is his body? How is his position? Which species? He sees the soul. What is his behavior? What is his activities? Criminal or non-criminal? Good or bad? Right or wrong? He doesn't see. He sees the soul and gives benefit to the soul. So that is Uttama, not discriminating. You all heard Bob Cohen? How many of you heard Bob Cohen? Yes. Brahma Tirth Das Adhikari, Brahma Tirth Prabhu. He was a Peace Corps worker. He came to Mayapur and met Prabhupada. He met him in foreign country also, US. And he asked many good questions. And Prabhupada replied. And that whole conversation is printed by BBTS, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers book. Very nice book. If you have not read, please read it. Very nice book. So at one place, Bob Cohen at that time, Brahma Tirth Prabhu, he asked a question to Prabhupada. That sometimes some prasad I like, some prasad I don't like. So is it okay to eat what I like and not eat what I don't like? He asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, a devotee does not discriminate, should like all prasad. He said, but Prabhupada, spicy prasad hurts my stomach. I can't digest spicy prasad. And here sometimes the cook doesn't make good prasad. Very spicy masala oil they add. Prabhupada still said, prasad is prasad. Prahlad Maharaj even drank poison because offered to Krishna. So perfect devotee doesn't discriminate. With this conversation going on. So Prabhupada gives a very important point at the end. He said, a perfect devotee doesn't discriminate. But if you are not on that stage, you can't artificially avoid discrimination. You have to discriminate and hope that I come on a perfect level. So we have to practice this great philosophy which we speak in Bhagavatam classes and read on our stage. Not only we should know the philosophy, but we should know its application on our stage. Otherwise we may practice the philosophy in an improper way and burn out. So we should be careful. When we see some devotees have accidental fall downs, not behaving properly, how should we respond? We should know every devotee on his own level is trying to fight with Maya. Everybody is fighting with Maya. Somebody has big gun, somebody has small gun, somebody has atom bomb. Everybody is fighting with Maya. Somebody has big shikha, somebody has small shikha, but everybody is fighting with Maya. Now when you are fighting a war, sometimes you may get wounded. Sometimes you may hit a bullet to Maya, sometimes Maya may hit you. Most of the time what happens, Maya hits. So we get wounded. There's accidental fall down. Now if a soldier is on the border with a gun, and one bullet comes and hits his arm, and he comes back to the tent, goes to the hospital, gets operated, puts a bandage, you will laugh at him? You will laugh at him? No. You will show sympathy that, oh, he got hit. And next day, on the border, he is standing with a patti, with a wound, again fighting with Maya. You say, brave boy. Right? Because again ready to fight. In the same way, if a devotee has an accidental fall down, he breaks a regulative principle, he is not able to control his senses, Maya defeats him, he goes back, relaxes, again next day Mangalarti he comes, takes his bead back and says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Again he is fighting. We should say, brave boy. We should appreciate that devotee. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita when he says, Sudhuracharo. That even if my devotee does an abominable activity, according to my opinion, Krishna says, according to my opinion, he is still a sadhu. In other words, if according to your opinion he is not a sadhu, then you are disobeying Krishna. Because Krishna says he is still a sadhu. You accept him as a sadhu. So we don't praise and despise. But if we come across devotees who are struggling with Maya, who got defeated at one point of time, everybody is not winning every day the battle. At one point of time, we also get defeated. But if he is again ready to fight, he is sincere, ananya bhak, he is sincere, then he should be accepted as a sadhu. This is how we should see others. This verse is not talking about how I should see myself. This is not a license. This verse is not a license that I can do everything and anything. Krishna says anyway, everybody should consider me as a sadhu. That is not the point. This is not a license. So many things will happen in front of us. Our response should be such that peace is maintained. Our Krishna consciousness doesn't get damaged. And others' Krishna consciousness doesn't get damaged. Nobody's growth is hampered. That is how we should respond. And in material world, so many things happen, a devotee should remain neutral. If that is favorable to practice and preaching of Krishna consciousness, we go ahead and expand our services. If that is unfavorable, we depend on Krishna and continue our services, continue our duties. But not get indulged into praising and despising things. Shubh, ashubh. Everything in material world is ashubh. Nothing good. The only good is Krishna consciousness. So we should focus on Krishna consciousness, not get involved in gossip. We should respond in such a way that our spiritual growth is not hampered and other spiritual growth is not hampered. And as a person matures, he comes to non-discrimination platform. That's Uttam Adhikari. But we don't artificially try to behave Uttam Adhikari. Even those who are actual Uttam Adhikari, when they have to preach, they come to Madhyam Adhikari platform, which means they discriminate. They discriminate, they see between two things differently and accordingly respond for preaching or for person's spiritual growth. So a perfect person, as mentioned here, does not discriminate. Shubh ashubh, doesn't praises, neither despises. Bad people, wrong God, good people, doesn't cease because all different mentalities are working, different modes are working. That is a perfect person. When we become like that, we do like that. Now we should know what is favorable for my bhakti, I accept. What is unfavorable for my bhakti, I reject. Now we discriminate. Discriminate based on three modes of material nature. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we will take. Any questions? Yes. Do we have a mic? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Puji, for nice class. Puji, this last point about Sadhur Eva Samantavya. This Ananya Bhak you are telling.
Come back, I didn't hear.
Last point you are telling about Krishna Sadhur Eva Samantavya, that he considers a fallen devotee also as a devotee and sadhu. So what that Ananya Bhak you are like, because the way you are telling that some may take as a license for oneself and do something wrong, and someone may kind of plan to do something wrong and does it wrong, and someone accidentally does something wrong. So for us to be careful, how we kind of little more understanding of that, to not take it as a license.
So if a person accidentally falls off from the regular path, but sincerely wants to come back, struggles and continues, we accept him as a sadhu. If a person plans and goes off a regular path, but he comes back feeling guilty and sincerely wants to struggle and continue, we still accept him as a sadhu. Why? Not because we are fools. Not because there is no risk, he may plan again, he may cheat me again. That is there. But we responding so that he is given a chance. Every person requires a chance. Every person requires a second chance. Every person requires a third chance. Every person requires a fourth chance. Every person requires a fifth chance. We all require. Right? From lifetimes. We require a chance. So, on behalf of Krishna, we keep giving chance to person. Even if there is one, if there is 99% possibility that he will cheat again, and 1% possibility that he may continue, we'll have to use that 1%. We'll have to fan it. So even if a person plans it out, Krishna will look at his karma, but from our side, we should respond in such a way that his spiritual growth is encouraged. Now, when we are in an institution, to protect one person's spiritual growth, we can't put 100 people's spiritual growth at risk. So there is a managerial decision to have separation of people who are risk prone and who may make others risk prone. Like child abuse cases are there. A person has planned doing it, now is guilty, sincere, comes back. But then he may hamper other child and their spiritual growth. So a manager decision has to be taken so that the 100 people are not at risk. But eventually the final responsibility of a devotee is to make sure that everybody gets a chance to practice Krishna consciousness. Okay? Any more questions? Will India? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.